in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's God. He's living within us. And so I want to invite you to take out your outline in a continuation of the series. Another question we'd like to answer and direct from God's Word, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's a question a lot of people are asking. Some people that have professed the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have never experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. Partly because I don't think they've heard about that doctrine, that truth. Sometimes that doctrine gets lost in the things of life. Sometimes because maybe they've been taught wrong doctrine. That it's not for us. It's not for the church today. But he is for us. And his filling is for the church today. Why do we need to know about these things? Especially about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you very quickly just three quick answers. First of all, we're commanded by God and his word to be filled and to be continually filled with the word of God. So what God commands us to do, I want to obey, don't you? Amen. Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to know why and how we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And number two, Christ's teaching of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, that's the greatest discourse that we see that the Lord has particularly focused on the Holy Spirit there in the upper room. And all that he speaks of the person of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is directly related to the filling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and in the life of the church. Number three, the filling of the Holy Spirit is necessary if we're to live the Christian life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and that is a blessing to others. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you and I could never live the Christian life in that manner. You see in your outline before you that command, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why Paul is using that analogy, if you were, or that comparison, because a person who's drunk, they're out of control. They're being controlled, if you will, by that substance. They're doing things that they would never do before. Some very foolish things. I've been there. I've done that. Maybe you have too. The converse for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we are under the control of the Holy Spirit. That he's the one who guides us and leads us, and he will never lead you to do something that's foolish. Never. A quote from from Charles Ryrie, from the viewpoint of the Christian living, the filling of the Holy Spirit is probably the most important aspect of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. There are many different aspects of the teaching of the Holy Spirit we find in the Word of God, both in the Old Testament, right from creation, right unto the new creation, Book of Revelation. But probably the most important for us, personally speaking, in living the Christian life, the filling of the Holy Spirit, that aspect of the teaching of the Holy Spirit is probably the most important for us personally. The filling of the Holy Spirit was a common and continuing, as you see in your outline before you, it was a common. It wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for those leaders, those pastors and teachers, like Paul, like Peter. But it was for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was very common. It was common amongst all of them, and a continuing experience. It wasn't something that just happened on the day of Pentecost. Now some would have us to believe that was the filling of the Holy Spirit. Period. No, indeed, that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit where disciples of Jesus Christ were baptized into the body of Christ. And that happens in your life and my life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That moment of conversion, we're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, the church. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is that ongoing work and presence and power and enabling and control that the Holy Spirit is to have in our lives. And so it was a continuing experience in the life and the growth of the early church as recorded in the book of Acts. Book of Acts. Some have said that's the actions of Christ through the Spirit in the lives of his people. And we see in the very beginning of the book of Acts where the Lord said, you know, wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and within you, and you will be filled with power to be my witnesses. Not just to witness, if you will, as an act, but to be the witnesses of Christ Jesus. Take a look at, we have a long, I won't read them all, but take a look at some of the selections taken from the book of Acts, where it speaks about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. It says in the word there is glossolalia. Now there's different times in the history of the church for the past 150 years, there's been this, what they call the tongues movement. Maybe you came out of that, I don't know. I've been exposed to some of that. But the word here, glossolalia, isn't some unknown heavenly language that no one understands. It's a known language and a known dialect. In fact, in the very context of Acts chapter 2, when the apostles or the disciples of Christ, 120 of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began speaking in other languages known by those who heard, and they heard the gospel. That was for the proclamation of the gospel, not some gibberish that no one understands. Okay? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, rulers of the people and the elders, and he spoke the gospel to them. We could go on throughout, if you will, the book of Acts. Indeed, we see that to be a very common occurrence in the life of every believer who's in step with the Holy Spirit and with the church as it's beginning to grow. Well, let's go on, if you will. What does it mean? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Like I said, the Holy Spirit who fills you will never have you to do something foolish. From the biblical perspective, from God's point of view. Now I know, because you might be arguing with me, well, Paul says preaching the gospel is foolishness to the world. Yeah, yeah. The Holy Spirit will enable us and empower us to preach and to live and to speak the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But when I say the Holy Spirit will never have you to do something foolish, I mean something that is contrary to the will of God and that is in opposition to God's revelation of the Word. Okay? He's the one who has revealed the Word of God to those who wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God's truth. And you have that in your hands right now. We're going to be turning to a number of places there. But in the book of Acts, we see that it was a common occurrence. Not something that happens every 5 years or so, but a common occurrence and a continuing experience there in the early church in the lives of believers of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on, if you will. What does it mean to be filled? Well, there's a very short sentence. It's short and sweet. It is when the believer in Jesus Christ is empowered, controlled, and led by the indwelling Holy Spirit, period. We don't have to make a big, lengthy paragraph definition. The person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are being empowered by the Holy Spirit, they are being controlled by the Holy Spirit, they are being led by the indwelling Holy Spirit within them. We gave you, shared with you a number of verses that speak to that, and there are many, many others, but those from Acts right in through Galatians that you have before you are some of the key passages by the results. I'm talking about results, because wherever the Spirit is, He brings about results. He does. Results of a transformed life, results of people being involved in ministry, results of a relationship being healed through reconciliation, results of churches growing vibrantly, alive, results where worship is alive with praise, with the joy of salvation, with a sense of the presence of God, that we don't have to pray for God's presence because He promised it. And the Holy Spirit, He enables us to sense God's presence. Yeah, there are results of the filling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Our prayer life becomes energized. Our witnessing becomes empowered. And when we speak to our children, the filling of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see, hey, they're listening. They're listening. You know what I mean? Yeah. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, there are a lot of things that happen, and they're all good. They're all good. But let me share with you just a little snapshot that Paul has there in Ephesians as he wrote a letter about some of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, in your life, in my life, in God's church right here. Take a look. You have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, do not be foolish. God doesn't want us to do foolish things. He wants us to do wise things, glorifying Him. and things that are effective for the gospel. So do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord is. Well, do you want to understand what the will of the Lord is? I do. Because I want to do my Father's will. No, notice what it says. And then following, he says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but, the contrast, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be under the control of the Spirit, is what he's referring to. Now the results. Take a look. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of the results. We'll get into that shortly. Singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. That's a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into that. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. His presence and power in your life and in the life of the church, the body of Christ. Another, if you will, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, out of honor for Christ, out of love for him. Well, from this passage, and this is just a snapshot, because we see many other passages that speak of the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But this is one picture. From this passage, we observe four specific results when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are involved in mutual ministry to others. We experience a true inner joy that only Christ through the Holy Spirit can give us. We have an attitude of gratitude. And the fourth one, in this picture, in God's scrapbook, so to speak, of the church, our church, his church right here, we live in submission to God and to one another. Let's very quickly take a look at those four things independently, if you will, individually. A mutual ministry. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit fills the life of the believer. They want to minister because also they're given spiritual gifts to minister. To minister to others. You know, think of all those one another passages in the New Testament about how we are to serve and how we are to minister to one another. There's anywhere from 16 to 20, depending on how you count them. All of those one another passages about our ministry relationship to each other in the body of Christ can only be enabled and empowered and fulfilled with the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because brother and sister, if you do it in the flesh, it's not going to last. If you do those things in the flesh, there'll be a detriment to church health, church life, and church growth. We'll get into that in a little bit. There are all the one another passages in the church that are in the New Testament. Find your fulfillment in the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, then the spiritual gifts are truly empowered. Amen? The spiritual gifts you begin to see, yes, well, that one, God is using. God is using it, and lives are being touched for the glory of God. I want you to turn very quickly to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 12. This is an outstanding statement by the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 12. And it wasn't just for the disciples then, because we realize it's also for the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, for you and I today. Take a look what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, do you believe in him? Say amen if you do. That's a weak amen. Come on now. Do you believe in Jesus? Amen. Yes. Okay, go, let's follow, if you will. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Christ works through the body of Christ, through his Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God in you and in the body of Christ, the church. That's an astounding verse. Verse 12 is an astounding statement. He wants us to do greater works for his glory. And the only way you and I can ever do those greater works that Christ has promised and proclaimed to his church even today is through the filling of the Holy Spirit within us. He's the one who enables. He's the one who empowers. Come back, if you will, to your outline. Mutual ministry is one of the results of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Another result, according to Paul's picture here in Ephesians chapter 5, is a true inner joy. A true inner joy. Now, when I was an unbeliever, I had times of joy, didn't you? Times when you were happy? Come on now. Yeah. But you know, after I accepted Christ and I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ in 1968 together with my wife, I've had periods of joy that I've never had before. I've experienced a joy that Peter says is unspeakable and full of glory. That's joy that the Lord wants. That can only happen in your life, in my life, in your marriage, in my marriage, in your home and my home, as when believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are singing, making music in their hearts to the Lord. There is joy in salvation. There is joy in knowing that your sins are forgiven. Aren't you joyous over that? Amen. There's joy in ministering and serving others. There's joy. There's joy in sharing Christ with others. There's joy in seeing Christ work in the life of a son, of a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, a next door neighbor, or someone at work, or someone at school. There's joy in seeing God working and people responding to the gospel, seeing others finding that joy in Christ. But that's only one of the results. Another result that you have before you in the outline, an attitude of gratitude. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the characteristics of the unsaved is they're unthankful, they're ungrateful. Paul says that in Romans chapter 1. Oh, they may give, if you will, thank you. But they really don't have that deep heart of gratitude for the grace of God, the mercy of God. How does that happen? Well, it happens at conversion, but it never stops there. One of the results of the filling of the Holy Spirit is that He gives us that attitude of gratitude. You and I live in a culture, in a society where everybody says, I deserve this! And then we're also told by others, you deserve it! Yes, you do! And then we're told by others, you have your rights! And then we're echoed by others, I have my rights! Beloved, outside of Jesus Christ, the only thing we deserve is judgment. For the soul that sins shall surely die. It's all of God's grace and mercy that you and I can take that next breath. You can put your hand on your wrist and feel that next heartbeat. It's only by the grace of God. And now as a child of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, your heart is filled with an attitude of gratitude. You are grateful. You are thankful for the things of God. Take a look. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another result. A fourth one in this picture is submission to God and to one another. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Submission to God and to one another. Having a servant's heart. You know, Diana, she feeds the birds. But don't, please, do not send your birds over our place. We have enough. Okay? But every morning she's out there feeding the birds. It's interesting. Even those little ones, I'll tell you, they have a pecking order. You know what I mean? And you know, they're all down there, and all of a sudden one swoops in, he's chasing the others out, and he's, I'm going to eat it all. Well, he doesn't eat it all. But every time some other birds get in there, you know, it's called a pecking order. And sometimes in a church, unfortunately, there's a pecking order. We've never meant to be. Never meant to be. You know, the disciples had a problem with that. And the Lord addressed it in a loving, but in a very clear way. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And if you're using a few Bibles, on page 1003, 1003. And pick it up at verse 42. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples because he knew what was going on in their hearts. They wanted to have a pecking order. We don't have a pecking order here. We have members in the body of Christ. Christ is the head. And each part has a function, has a purpose, not a pecking order. And take a look at what the Lord says to the disciples. Take verse 42. And Jesus called to them and said to them, because they were arguing, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? You know that. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over you, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. No pecking order. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even, and this is the example that he gives, take a look at verse 45, one of the key verses in the book of Mark. Take a look at verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be what? Served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what it means in being submission unto God and to one another. There's no pecking order. We're to serve one another. We are to have a servant's heart. I thank the Lord that there are many here in our church family that have a servant's heart. It's so evident. It's so evident in how they serve the body of Christ. They do things. Sometimes it's done behind the scenes. I thank the Lord for Frank and Corey Over. They have a servant's heart. When we had that huge snowfall a couple weeks ago, they plowed out the driveway. They didn't stop there. They were plowing out other driveways here in the mountain. Some of you maybe had your driveway plowed out by them. I don't know. But that's a servant's heart. Now, there are many examples. It doesn't have to be a big major thing on a major scale like that, like plowing out the parking lot. It could be something simple. It could be something simple like seeing something on there and you're picking it up for the glory of God. You say, you know, God's place should look nice. It shouldn't be offensive when visitors come. Picking up, straightening up, cleaning up. Those are simple things, but that's from a servant's heart. Amen? You know what I mean. Okay. And so indeed, you know, one of the results, among many results of the filling of the Holy Spirit, is that we have a servant's heart. We want to not only serve the Lord, but we want to serve one another. In whatever opportunity and capacity the Lord gives us, that opportunity to serve. Serving one another. Well, then the next question, I guess, really is baked to be asked, isn't it? There in your outline before you. Maybe you're already asking this. Maybe you know the answer. I don't know. But the next question is, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know? Are you filled? Are you continually being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me share with you three things. It's no secret formula. It's no, you know, some special experience where you have to hype people up and build them up with all sorts of things. No, simple things. Simple things. Faith, prayer, and obedience. Faith, prayer, and obedience. Say those together with me. Faith, prayer, and obedience. Directly related to how we are to be filled and continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, let's take a look at prayer. Take a look, if you will, what the Lord says in His Word, Hebrews chapter 11. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. God wants us to come to Him in faith. Take a look at the next verse, if you will, from Colossians. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Him? By doing works? By paying a certain amount? No, by what? By faith. By faith. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In that same faith that God gave you to believe in His Son, gave me to believe in His Son, gave us to believe in His Son, we're to walk by that faith, believing in a holy, righteous God, believing in a loving, gracious Father. Okay? So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established, strengthened, just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. Faith. By faith, we believe what God has done. By faith, we believe what God has said. By faith, I believe God's word. Don't you? I pray you do. Because you know something, if you don't believe God's word, if you don't believe God's word, you can't be saved. Because it's God's word that the Holy Spirit uses to bring us to Christ. You see, the gospel is God's word. And if you say you don't believe in God's word, then you don't believe in the gospel. If you don't believe in the gospel, you don't believe in Christ. Do you see the biblical logic there? By faith, By faith, I believe God's word. I believe what he declares. I believe I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit? That's an act of faith. Is that so all of a sudden you find, you have an electrical signal going down your leg or down your arm or something like that? No. God says he fills you. He indwells you with his Holy Spirit. And God's will is to be filled. God's will is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I know that because he commanded. He says, build right there in Exodus, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says that to you too. It's a command. You see, by faith, I'm taking that as indeed God's word to me. Are you taking that as God's word to you? I pray you are. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I believe that God hears our prayers. And I believe that he answers our prayers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people take issue with that. Why? I want everything that the fullness of Christ has for me. Don't you want that for you? If we're praying for the other things, the blessings, the graces, and mercies, why do we stop and not pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this. You don't have to raise your hand. When was the last time you prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because that gets us to the next. Remember, it's faith, prayer, and what's the third? Obedience. Prayer. You see, prayer makes it really personal. It's a personal expression of our faith because we're talking to God. Prayer is not a ritual. It's not a secret formula. It's just talking to God, your Father. And if I believe my Father, Heavenly Father, is God. I believe that the Son of God is God. I also believe that the Holy Spirit is God. Take a look at 1 John chapter. You have that there in your outline. Now, this is the confidence we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, underline that, according to his will. Is it God's will that you be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. How do you know that? Because he's commanded me. He's commanded us to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Boy, what confidence, what assurance that God gives us here in his word. We take it by faith. Indeed, it's God's word and God has declared it. And God gives us that confidence. Is it God's will that you be filled continually every day with the Holy Spirit? Me filled every day with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Does he want us to pray for it? Yes. Take a look, if you will, in the next verse you have in Luke. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and the Lord is using this by contrast, but some parents are evil. I know that. I've seen that. And you have too. But he's doing this by contrast. Okay? Contrasting with the amazing, the abounding love of God. He's saying, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him. Some people take issue with me praying to the Spirit. They say you shouldn't pray to the Spirit. Say, pray to the Father. In the model prayer, Matthew 6, there in the Sermon on the Mount, pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven. And they use that as a reason why we should not pray to Jesus or to pray to the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you, there are a number of prayers in the New Testament that are directed right to Jesus Christ. I think of Stephen when he was being martyred and he prayed to Jesus. I think of Paul when he had the thorns in the flesh and he prayed to the Lord. He prayed to Jesus. Let me give you a biblical reason for praying to the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit, that our lives would manifest Christ. You see, that's the goal. We are filled with the Holy Spirit that our lives would manifest the fullness of Christ. The church is being filled with the Holy Spirit so the church would manifest, would display, would give evidence for the fullness of Christ. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. That's the goal. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes. Is he a person? Yes. How do we communicate with people? We talk to them. We talk to them. We have a relationship with them. We have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He controls us. He leads us. He rebukes us. He convicts us. He does all of these things because he is God and he is a person. And he's a person who dwells in your life and my life and indwells the church. And we have a relationship with him. And again, let's not make prayer some mechanical or some mystical thing. Prayer is a communication with that one you have a relationship with, God. Amen? It's communicating. It's talking with him. Beloved, if I can lie to him, I certainly must pray to him. Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. I have no problem praying to the Holy Spirit, and I pray that you don't either. But if you have a doctrinal issue with me on that, you can see me after church. You can call me during the week. I'd be glad to come over to your house and we go through the Word of God together. Okay? But I guess the bottom line is, are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? And is the Holy Spirit filling your life with a desire and a delight to minister and serve others? With a heart that is grateful? With a heart that is joyful? With a heart that is in submission to God and to others? And those are just some of the results of the indwelling presence and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Are you being filled with the Spirit? That's really the bottom line, isn't it? That Christ would be formed in our lives. That we, like John the Baptist, when he declared, I must decrease, and Christ must what? Increase. The Holy Spirit in his filling will bring about the fruit of the life of Christ within you. The Holy Spirit through his filling will bring about that love of Jesus Christ that is so wonderfully portrayed and described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And people will see Jesus. By obedience, we are commanded to be continually filled. Remember, it's what? Faith? What's the next one? Prayer and? Obedience. Okay. We are commanded to be continually being filled. How do we do that? Well, it starts with honoring the Spirit. It starts with honoring the Spirit. Recognizing that he is God, that he is the indwelling presence of God within us. Okay? Take a look. Some of the ways we dishonor the Spirit, so we understand, if I'm to honor the Spirit, I must not be doing these things, because these are dishonoring to the Holy Spirit, as well as to my Father in heaven, as well as to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We're commanded, don't grieve the Spirit. How do we do that? By disobedience. By being divisive in the body of Christ and in relationships. I know that so because of where it's placed. It's placed right in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not grieve the Spirit. And it's right in the middle of relationship issues. Forgiving one another, building one another up, speaking the truth to one another, serving one another in love. And right in the midst of that, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you correlate that? Well, if I'm not doing these things relationally in the body of Christ with my brothers and sisters, if I'm doing just the opposite, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? I hope you will. He also tells us, do not quench the Spirit. Disregarding him, disregarding his work in the church, disregarding his work in the life of another believer, disregarding the work of the Holy Spirit in your own life will quench the Holy Spirit's work within us, individually and collectively. And do not lie to the Spirit. You think that's just an occasion there in Acts chapter 6 with Ananias and Sapphira? I'm sorry, Acts chapter 5. People lie to the Spirit all the time. If I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I do, I don't want to be lying to him. We lie to the Spirit in our worship. We lie to the Spirit in our giving. We lie to the Spirit in our service. We even lie to the Spirit in our relationships. How do I honor the Holy Spirit? By obeying Him. By submitting and following Him. I live by the Spirit. Take a look at your outline. Live by the Spirit. Rely on Him. Trust in Him. Seek His wisdom. He will teach us wisdom through the Word. The Spirit of God has inspired this revelation you and I have. Revelation from God Himself. And it will work in your life and my life, in your marriage and my marriage, in your family and my family. It's great when you see your children walking in the ways of righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
That doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen because you give them three squares a day. I mean square meals. But it does happen when you minister to your children through the Word of God by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's great to see that your children are doing that also to your grandchildren. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That doesn't just happen. That does not just happen. Just because a grandparent said, I'm a Christian. Or just because a parent says, I'm a Christian. You see, it takes the Holy Spirit to work. Your life and my life. Your family and my family. And His church. Our church right here. Let's go on. Obedience. But living by the Spirit and keeping in step with Him. Paul says that in Galatians. Keeping in step with the Spirit. He also says live by the Spirit. What you saying? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. As you walk through this world with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're walking in the filling of the Holy Spirit, if you will. And it's a daily progressive thing. Our relationship with one another will have a direct effect and direct impact on our walk with the Holy Spirit. Take a look, if you will. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Now, I know that maybe sometimes, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth or thoughts in your head, but do you get tired of me talking about relationships? I sense that some do. But let me share something with you. Relationships with God and relationship with each other is so important. It has direct impact and bearing about what we're talking about today, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I know that so because of Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Take a look. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. He will guide our steps. He will direct our steps. Do you want that? Amen, I do. But notice what he says. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What? Where did that come from, Paul? I thought you were talking about the Spirit. I thought you were talking about living by the Spirit. I thought you were talking about walking by the Spirit. Where did that thought come? Well, one reason. Because our relationship with God and our relationship with each other will have a direct impact on the Spirit's filling in your life and my life. That's why he put those three things there. Now, there are many other problems, too, that can happen in a church. But those three things seem to be the prominent three sinful ways that affect and destroy churches. Take a look at those, if you will. Verse 26, what is it? Pride. Provoking one another. Jealousy. Paul says, if those sins are at work in our heart and in Christ's church, we won't be walking by the Spirit. We'll be walking according to the flesh. We won't be living by the Spirit. We'll be living by the flesh. Do you see why it's so important? Our relationships. I pray you do. I pray you do. I pray I do too, that I never forget how important relationships are. Because I really want to be continually being filled by the Holy Spirit every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Don't you? Don't you? Father God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for the greatest salvation in Christ Jesus, your Son. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent another comforter, another helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to dwell within us. Thank you for your word, how it instructs us and encourages us. Spirit of God, fill our hearts, fill our lives with the fullness of Christ. Lord Jesus, fill your church with your Holy Spirit, that you would be formed in us, Lord Jesus. That we would see these results of the filling of your Spirit in ministering one to another and to others. And having that wonderful, amazing joy in life with you. The joy of our salvation. The joy of serving. The joy of sharing. The joy of seeing others coming to you, Lord Jesus, for salvation. And having that deep, deep growing heart attitude of thanksgiving every day. And having a servant's heart in submission to you and to one another. Lord, help us to grow in our faith, be more intentional in our praying, and be consistent in obedience. In your name we pray. Amen.